Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Early United Days of Appeals from Veterans Board.
We are serving 11.
We're serving appeals.
This is the Mount Blanco Park Association Incorporated. They're requesting authorization to install a 200-square-foot concrete boat ramp, creating impacts to 170 square feet of vegetated and non-vegetated tidal wetlands for the Mount Blanco Park Association Community Boat Ramp on property situated along the James River at 12100 Sloan Drive in Chesterfield County. This project will require a wetlands permit only, and the commission is charged with acting as the wetlands board for this case because Chesterfield County has not yet adopted the model wetlands ordinance. The green marker here is the approximate location of the project site. It's located along the tidal fresh reach of the James River, just outside the city of Richmond. It is upriver from Presque Isle National Wildlife and Carl's Neck Farm. This aerial photograph shows the shoreline. There's approximately 118 feet of shoreline, faces east to northeast with a minimal to moderate northeast stretch. Along this stretch of shoreline, there are no existing structures, although you can see there are private piers up and down river. This is a ground shot taken at an August 29, 2012 site visit. This was taken at approximately low tide, and you can see the low tide line sits quite a ways off of the shoreline and the bank, about approximately 60 feet. This is predominantly a mud flat, though there is some vegetation up here near the bank. The proposed boat ramp is going to be 10 feet wide by 20 feet long, and it will not encroach channelward of mean low water, so it will all be located within the intertidal zone. This is a ground shot taken from a May 23rd site visit. This is the approximate location of the boat ramp here. You can see there's a lot of woody debris, but there is some vegetation present in line of the boat ramp. This is a side view of that same area. Again, this is approximately where the boat ramp will be. Again, there's a slight grade here. You can see the woody vegetation. The predominant wetland species along this site, you can see in the back here, is Justicia americana, which is an unlisted wetland species, so it's not listed in the wetlands ordinance. There are, however, stands of arrow arum, which is a wetland species, which would make this a vegetated wetland. This is a plan view shot of the project. The boat ramp is 20 feet long by 10 feet wide, and this is actually a revised plan view, item number 5 at the end of your book. Because this will create impacts to vegetated wetlands, in speaking with the point of contact, we have decided to move the compensation area downriver. So the original plan view had the compensation area upriver from the boat ramp, and it's now going to be downriver, which is why this is the revised version. Again, mean low water sits about 60 feet off of the shoreline. The ramp will not encroach channelward of that. There will be a small portion of the boat ramp that's going to be upland of the jurisdictional wetland. And as a note, this is going to be a concrete ramp. It was originally proposed to be gravel. However, the Army Corps of Engineers requested that it be concrete so that applicants changed their plans. And it will only be used to launch canoes and kayaks. There will be no motorized vessels being launched from this ramp. This is a side view of the ramp. Again, mean low water. It will not go beyond mean low water. There's mean high water, and a small section will sit in the upland, approximately 30 square feet outside of the jurisdictional wetlands. This is a close-up shot of the approximate location of the boat ramp. The markers here indicate 10 feet wide, and the orange area is where the boat ramp will go. Again, the predominant wetland species is Justicia americana right here, but there are sprigs of arrow arum in this area, which would make it a vegetated wetland. Standing back, looking towards the shoreline, this is approximately where the boat ramp will be. As you can see, there's a lot of woody debris in this area. Staff's understanding is that this would be vegetated if it weren't for this debris. So therefore, we're calculating the square foot of impacts in this band where the vegetation would exist if it weren't for the woody debris, and it's approximately 30 square feet. This is the proposed area for the mitigation. The plans are to excavate back 10 feet long by 5 feet deep to the appropriate elevation and plant it with the appropriate wetland vegetation. This is going to make this area about 50 square feet, which is greater than the 30 square foot compensation. However, our guidelines do recommend that at a minimum it be 1-to-1, if not greater, to account for any losses that might occur. Just a quick overview of current access points along the James River in this location. There are two public ramps located in Chesterfield County. This is the Dutch Gap public ramp, and then one in Henrico County, which is Deep Bottom. This is, these are located 4.5 and approximately 3 miles upriver from the project site. If you move down the river about 5 miles, you get to the city of Hopewell, and there are two access points there, but both of these are pay-to-launch access sites. The boat ramp for Mount Blanco Park Association will be strictly for their private use as an association. And again, there will be no motorized vessels. This is just canoes, kayaks, and other non-motorized vessels. I'm going to close with this approximation of where the boat ramp will be. Again, it's 20 feet long by 10 feet wide. And in response to our public interest review, we received no comments from the public. State agencies, DEQ, is not issuing a BWP because the Army Corps of Engineers will be issuing a permit on this project. The Department of Game and Inland Fisheries did note that this ramp is located in eagle concentration zone, so they recommended a time of year restriction on construction of the ramp from May 15th through August 31st, and then again December 15th through March 15th, and this is to protect the large concentration of eagles that inhabit the area. They had also originally requested an time of year restriction for anadromous fish, which would have been February 15th through June 30th. But recent correspondence with DGIF, they have rescinded that comment, so therefore we will not include that time of year restriction. Department of Conservation and Recreation has identified a natural heritage resource, which is the Atlantic sturgeon, and they recommend implementation and strict adherence to all state and local erosion and sediment control regulations and laws. VIMS issued comments, and they recommended on-site compensation for the loss of any tidal wetlands. And the Chesterfield County Planning Department said the ramp will require approval from the County Board of Supervisors. So the Mount Blanco Park Association proposed boat ramp, again, is for their private use to launch canoes, kayaks, and other non-motorized watercraft. The closest public boat ramps are DGIF's Dutch Gap public ramp, located approximately 4.5 miles upriver, and DGIF's Deep Bottom Park, located approximately 3.3 miles upriver. Across two pay-to-launch boat ramps are available in the city of Hopewell, but these are more than 5 miles downriver. The applicants have agreed to create vegetated wetlands on site to compensate for the loss associated with the boat ramp. They agreed to create a 50-square-foot wetlands as compensation for the vegetated loss. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project and after considering all the factors contained in 28.2.1302 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends approval with the permit conditions that the applicant must create new wetlands from the upland in coordination with VMRC staff, including a wetland compensation plan to be submitted for acceptance prior to permit issuance, with monitoring for 3 years, and adherence to time of year restrictions protective of bald eagles. In addition, the VMRC permit will include a condition requiring the applicant to obtain all county approvals before beginning their project. And with that, I will take any questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the commission? Mr. Fox?
Yes, does the applicant have any provisions to prevent duck hunters or people like that from coming in and launching motorized vehicles at 5 o'clock in the morning, motorized boats?
That is a good question. I don't know for certain, but I do know that this area is gated, so you need a key to access that site. So I would assume if you don't have a key to access the site,
okay. So it is gated.
Any further questions from the commission? All right, seeing none, is the applicant here represented?
Yes, Mr. McGreeter is here representing the applicant.
Thank you. Sir, if you'd like to come up. Sir, if you'd please raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you. And state your name for the record, if you would, please.
Robert Stewart McGreeter.
Good afternoon and welcome. You've heard the staff recommendation. Do you have any comments on that?
I agree with them all. No, everything's okay. Fine. We've been in concert from the beginning, and so yeah, I knew of them beforehand and have no problems.
Thank you. And can you respond to the question that Mr. Fox raised about the ability to prevent people with motorized boats from coming in there? Is that an issue for you?
A gated area. The membership to the association is limited to 30 families. The way it's set up with the local police department, if you're down there, you need to have your key with your identification tag on it. And as far as launching motorized vehicles, because of the silting in of the area right opposite where the boat ramp is going to be, it would be pretty difficult to launch really anything of any size. That's why we've curbed the use, you know, to kayaks, canoes, you know, possibly small sailboats, that type of thing. But as far as launching a typical motorized vehicle, you couldn't.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there any other questions from the commission? All right, seeing none, this is a public hearing. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in support of the application? Is there anyone who would like to speak against the application? Seeing none, the matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Tankard?
I move to approve staff recommendation.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Fox. Discussion on the motion? We are serving as a wetlands board in this case, so in order to take an affirmative action on it, we'll need five affirmative votes. And just in the interest of preserving the record, I'll call the roll in order to vote. If the commission's ready for the question, Mr. Plumlee?
Aye.
Mr. Fox?
Aye.
Mr. Tankard?
Aye.
Mr. Sussums?
Aye.
And chair votes aye. That's five affirmative votes. Motion carries. Thank you. With that, we're ready for number eight.
Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry.
Mr.
Kugel? Yes.
Just for point of clarification, under 282.1305, it says that this body shall sit as a wetlands board, and you noted that it takes a five-member or five votes. But it says in Section 7 of the Wetland Zoning Ordinance, which we're operating under, it says three votes of a five-member board. We only have five here today, so I just wanted to bring that to the commissioner's attention.
I appreciate that, and I'll just reflect on a conversation I did have with staff. I think that code was written at a time when the commission may have been smaller than it is today, but I'll ask Tony if you want to elaborate on that at all.
I will, and it goes to a little bit of the past history and evolution of the board side of the commission, I guess, and the status of the code when it was originally adopted in 1972. And really what this provision seemed to get at from our perspective was that the local governments could have a five-member board, which was apt. I mean, they'd only have five people, or they could have seven. And then these number of votes were required to be affirmative votes to allow for use of wetlands. So if you had members absent at a board meeting, you would there would essentially be no votes. And so what we have is a nine-member panel. Sort of extrapolate what's in the code, but that may be sort of interpreting things that aren't really there. We have nine members, and five would seem to be the perfect number, but if you think that the max we could have would be seven members on a board for the Wetland Act, then you've got to have at least four. So that's sort of a little bit added to what council has provided, and just I think the important thing was there that absent members of a wetland board, either five or seven-member board, essentially no votes when it comes to affirmative action of the board. Mr. Plumlee, having sat in that seat, I think at the Virginia Beach Wetlands Board may have had experience dealing with just that issue at Virginia Beach.
Thank you, Tony. And that may be perhaps a bit of an open question. I just want to make sure that we preserve the record,
yeah,
which is why I called the roll. Right, right.
I
appreciate it.